This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlaken Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Our new climate solutions reporter, Vivian Law, had a conversation recently with the head of Cherryland Electric Co-op, and they talked about Michigan's law giving the state more say over where solar projects can be located. They talked a little bit about data centers, and they covered some other things too. We're going to hear about that conversation in just a moment. First, though, community leaders are gathering today to discuss the region's economy and future. The Northwestern Michigan Chamber Alliance puts on the annual Northern Michigan Policy Conference, and that is where we find IPR's Claire Keenan-Kurgan in Acme awaiting the conference start and joining us by phone. Hey, Claire.
Hi, Ed. Good morning.
Where are you right now?
I am in the lobby of the Grand Traverse Resort and Spa, right outside the fountain. I don't know if you guys can hear it.
Not quite, but I believe you. What's on the agenda today? There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, so registration is just getting started. People are kind of trickling in from the very cold parking lot. But there's going to be some opening remarks. Then there is a keynote speech from Garland Gilchrist, Michigan's Lieutenant Governor. There are panels on things like rural talent and population growth, on transportation, on energy. And last but not least, there are six governor's candidates on the agenda. So one of the first times that many in northern Michigan will be hearing from the candidates to take over from Gretchen Whitmer when she's done next year.
Yeah, and I understand that is what you will specifically be watching and listening to today.
Yes, that is definitely what I will be watching out for. They're not all going to be speaking at the same time, kind of like a debate. That's not what's going to happen. They're doing individual Q&As with the candidates who are here. And yeah, I'm excited to hear those.
Well, Claire, good luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
IPR's Claire Keenan-Kurgan on the phone with us from the Northern Michigan Policy Conference getting underway in Acme. She will be back on the Lowdown on Monday to talk about what exactly went on today. The head of Cherryland Electric Cooperative just won a big national industry award. The Council of Rural Electric Cooperatives honored Rachel Johnson from a pool of 900 or so eligible CEOs for outstanding communication efforts. And we felt like that might be a good opportunity for us to do some communicating with her. So we turned to our new climate solutions reporter, Vivian Law. Hey, Vivian.
Hi, Ed.
I want to begin with a thing that's front of mind for me today, and I'm sure for a lot of our other listeners too. It is just bitterly cold today. You've just had this conversation with Cherryland CEO Rachel Johnson. When it gets cold, we use lots of energy. How are they doing right now?
Yeah, Johnson says the grid is holding up great so far this winter. Last year, average outage times in their service area were one-third of the state's average, and they've been investing in technology to kind of keep up that reliability, like drones to inspect their system or burying electric lines underground. That's all becoming more important for extremes, like that big ice storm last spring, which didn't affect Cherryland service area, but they watched pretty closely.
All right, Vivian, let's talk climate change. Obviously, your beat. Obviously, a big concern for an energy provider like Cherryland. What are they doing about their own climate impact?
So Cherryland is increasing the amount of renewable energy they use, like solar or wind, and that also includes carbon-free energy, like nuclear, which they're getting from this year's reopening of the Palisades nuclear plant in southwest Michigan. And that's all really important because the co-op wants to be carbon-free by the end of the decade while still maintaining reliable, affordable electricity.
So it's kind of a all of the above, not a one-size-fits-all type of a model, but I think what we've done a good job of is layering the advantages and disadvantages of different generating sources in place for our members at the right time.
Johnson says they're on track to meet that goal of going carbon-free by the end of the decade.
Wow, okay. Building out that infrastructure, say through big solar arrays, seems like it can be tricky, though.
Yeah, Cherryland has this big solar array on US 31 near its headquarters, but there can be a lot of resistance to large-scale solar sometimes.
Yeah, Michigan has that law, as many of our listeners know, that gives the state a bigger say in where those projects can be located. That seems like it's creating some tension with local governments. I imagine that came up.
Yeah, no, that did come up.
You know, I think you see in state legislation a clear signal that they recognize that at some point in time, we will have to site energy in Michigan. And if it can't be worked out with the communities that might be hosting it, you know, the state has indicated a willingness to intervene in that. Like I said, we've not had to do that at Treeland, and I don't think we ever will, because I believe very deeply that we have the partnerships and relationships we'll need to work through that productively. But you know, I think it is a hard problem for the state of Michigan, and I think you see that in some of the legislation that essentially gives the Public Service Commission the ability to override local municipalities should they choose to.
Okay, one more hot button issue for you, Vivian. Michigan seems to be attractive to data centers. The very idea of a data center in Kalkaska County brought strong opposition, so much so that the developer of the project just said, you know what, never mind. There's a controversial one that is moving forward downstate, and they take a lot of energy. What does Rachel Johnson have to say about that?
Yeah, Johnson says she sees it more as an opportunity. There's a lot of opportunity for co-ops like Cherryland to work with these new industries like computing and data processing, and to work with people. And she's super excited about the economic benefits that could bring.
We have a lot of the things that they're looking for in that economy, whether that's land, whether that's, a robust electric grid, whatever that looks like. And so I'm really optimistic about the future of rural economies. I'm really optimistic about our ability to power those economies.
Yeah, and the data center issue is, I'm sure, not going away anytime soon. It doesn't seem to have come into Cherryland territory yet, but I would imagine if it does, you will be watching.
Yep.
Vivian Law is our climate reporter. Her work comes to us through a partnership with GRIST. Vivian comes directly to us from Boston, where she was a fellow, an environmental reporting fellow at WBUR. And Vivian, I have to say, one of the things I enjoyed about meeting you when we were interviewing you for the job was that you had a bunch of story ideas, which you've brought with you and you're eager to pursue. Tell us a little bit about some of them, because I think it could be helpful for our listeners to know some of the things you're thinking about.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm super interested in how climate change is affecting Northern Michigan communities. And that can be anywhere from, you know, rural energy needs like we're talking about today, but also, you know, farmers and the fruits that define this region. How is that industry changing, or who might be left behind as the state pursues its very ambitious climate goals? Or even what's the tipping point for people who decide to change what they eat, where they live, or how they make a living?
The way we talk about climate change speaks to a lot of what you've just said, which is this teetering back and forth between asking for huge institutional change, right? The governments have to do stuff, the corporations have to do stuff, and then also individual change, daily life practices, and how we as individuals deal with the climate crisis. It's kind of an interesting vein of stories to pursue.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, climate change is about those choices. It's about individuals choosing to do something, or it's about institutions choosing to make people do something. And I think that tension will be really interesting to explore as I learn a little bit more about the region and Northern Michigan.
Vivian Law covers climate solutions for IPR and for our national partner, GRIST. And if you have a story idea, email us at talktoipr@interlaken.org. Vivian, thanks again.
Thank you so much, Ed.
That is the Up North Lowdown for Friday, January 23rd. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, Dan Wanchura here. Get your game face on, because Pints North Great Lakes Trivia is back. Season 4 features 10 events. We'll be everywhere from Sheboygan to Cleveland, with lots of stops in between. All featuring brand new questions about the land, water, and inhabitants of the Great Lakes, hosted by the Points North podcast team. So, if you love the Great Lakes, a good drink, and lots of cool giveaways, then this is for you. For our complete schedule, go to interlakenpublicradio.org/pintsnorth, and we'll see you out there.